So we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. As I say, we are starting a brand new series today. It is the month of September, and we are aware. Good morning, Brother Spilker, all the way up north. Glad to see you, sir. We're aware that the year is moving towards a close. Believe it or not, it seemed only yesterday, perhaps, to some of us that we were in January and we were starting a brand new month and a brand new year of 2020, a brand new decade, in fact. And a lot was made about all of that. A lot was said about the year 2020 being a year of vision and clarity and that kind of thing. And certainly that is true. I still believe that to be true. But we didn't expect that the clarity would come the way that it has come and is coming. None of us could have foreseen, really, the global pandemic, the fallout and ramifications of that, folks staying at home for months at a time, businesses shutting down, government. We could have expected government not knowing exactly how to handle it. But anyway, we found ourselves and find ourselves in a time where we are still trying to get that clarity that God has promised for 2020. I will say that for some of us, we have absolutely had the lights turned on with respect to the fact that we have rearranged some of our priorities. When you are in a situation such as we've been in these past, 9 months or 8 months now, good morning, Sister Patricia, good to see you. Good morning, Sister Libby, God bless you. When you are in a situation where you have been on lockdown, where your life has been completely turned upside down for what appears to be an extended period of time to us. Now listen, I'm 60 years old, and if I look and put that 60 years up against the last 8 months, it's a very, very small piece of my life. But being that it's the most recent part of my life, we tend to kind of blow that up and say, man, this is everything. We forget about all the other things that we've gone through, all the other times that we've been in peril or trouble or confused or just didn't know what, you know, which side was up, and God brought us through. Amen? But when you're in the middle of the thing, you kind of seem to forget about all that other, and what's immediately in front of you is kind of all there is. Good morning, Sister Patricia. Good to see you, ma'am. You kind of forget that that's not all that there is. It kind of overwhelms and takes over a bit of your life. And we've certainly been there. We've certainly been there. Good morning, Carrie. How are you, ma'am? Dr. Elisa, great to see you this morning. It can be such that you only are focusing on just what's going on at the moment, and it seems like nothing else is real. All the previous years, all the previous situations that you've been in, that God has brought you through, and I know some of you people on this call right now, on this broadcast right now, can relate. Good morning. Because I know some of your stories, or at least part of some of your stories, and I know you've been through some stuff. You've been through stuff that, in a sense, will make this pandemic look like nothing, at least personally. You were facing life and death situations. You were facing crazy situations in your life. Your life was in a complete uproar and upheaval, but here you are. Here you are on your phone, on your computer, watching me today, and on the other side of that thing. I want you to understand, I want to give you some hope right up front that there is, and I've been saying this, you know, pretty much since the pandemic began, there is coming, and I believe it's not that far off, there is coming an after these things time. There is coming an after these things time. You have heard the phrase, and I'll say it again here, you know, that we have oftentimes read and said to ourselves, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. God's grace is sufficient. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You're right about that, Sister Libby. So we have precedent already. When we look back over our lives, we have precedent for the fact that God can and God will deliver. But this month, I want to look at, I've been really wrestling. I will tell you right now, I've been really wrestling with even what to call this series and how to go about it. And I'm still not 100% sure which way Holy Spirit is going to lead here. But I got a title at least, right? So we're going to go with that. It's kind of a lengthy title and an up and down and sideways title, but I want you to understand that there is a method to the madness here. I'm calling this Stuck, Unstuck, Free, and Flourishing. Stuck, Unstuck, Free, and Flourishing. I believe that God wants to take us from the first part of that to the latter part of that. I believe that right now we are in a situation, many of us, where we are feeling stuck. And I want you to know right off the bat that, don't think that you're the only one. I come to this morning, first of all, to tell you, you're not alone. You're not the only one who has that feeling that, man, I'm just stuck. I thought I'd be further along by now. I thought, things would be better by now. Many of us, for even this particular year of 2020, have felt that way, that here it is September, and my God, I thought this thing would be over. I thought when they announced all the trouble back in, February and March, that, by summer at least, we'd be through this thing, we'd be over it, we'd be back on a roll, and still, here we are, in the last trimester of the year, still dealing with all this craziness, still dealing with upheaval in every sector of our society and economy. We got folks fighting. We got tensions running very high. And we have apparently situations that are still looming like a dark cloud over us. Can I tell you right now that there are millions of people sitting out here in, the world, in the United States, that are concerned about that other shoe dropping. When they lift the ban or the moratorium on evictions, there are hundreds of thousands of people who right now, if they lifted the moratorium, they'd be out on the street. They don't have money to pay that rent. They don't have money to pay back rent for sure. And Lord help, if we're waiting on a government stimulus, it may be 2021 before they figure that out. So you have got to trust God if you gonna have any hope of coming out of this thing, on top. Some folks say, on top, man, if I could just get through it, period, I'd be doing good. But I believe that God wants to bring you through, not only barely making it, barely getting by, but he wants you to come out on top. That's why the end of this title is Flourishing. But I don't want to rush there. We're going to take a minute to get there this month. I want to talk today a little bit, and I may not be before you the full time. That would be a miracle, huh, right there. Like, he didn't go like an hour and a half already. Well, we're just going to go as the Lord leads, if that's all right with you. I hope it is. And I want to talk for a little while this morning about that stuck part, because that's where a lot of us kind of are. Now, listen, we're going through the motions. You're getting up every day and washing your face, or maybe you are, maybe you're not. You might be just like, you know, in your pajamas for the last 6 weeks. I don't know. But hopefully you're at least doing some of those basics that kind of keep you knowing that, okay, I'm alive and I'm here at least, okay? If you're not all the way to free and flourishing yet, we're going to get there. But right now, many of us have experienced and do experience, and even if you kind of break out of it from time to time, seems like it's a kind of got this vacuum hold on you, pulling you back into stuck. You wish for more, you desire more, you had dreamed about more, and man, at the end of 2019, you were certainly full of hope for more, for better. 2020, new year. Kind of interesting how almost every year, when we get around to the end of the year, however that year has been, we're like, okay, that one's over. We got a whole new clean slate. But when you get into that clean slate, and it's already got scribble marks all over it, by the time you get to February, you're like, man, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. What am I going to do? I'm spending half my year just trying to erase the board so I can write something on my clean slate. It's like you started out behind already. Man, I don't know. Am I talking to anybody out there? I hope some of y'all can relate. Maybe all your lives are just perfect already. And if so, just, you know, forward this broadcast to somebody who can use it. But for the rest of us, you know, we had hoped that things would be much better by now. I know that I had. I know that I had. Amen. I appreciate that positivity. Sister Livy says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And I certainly believe that. We're going to get to that clean slate. We're going to get to moving forward again. But a lot has happened. And we would be less than honest with ourselves, I think, for most of us anyway, if we didn't admit that, man, it's had an impact on us. We've had some days where we was like, God, why? Well, I know y'all don't ask him that. That's just me. But God, why? God, when? I've had enough of this. I'm tired of it. You know, thank you, Brother Spilker, for that honesty. He said, I can use a little help. Because we have those moments, at least, where it just seems like, man, are we going to get out of this? Are we going to move forward? I've been in this stuck place. And listen, can I tell you this? For many of us, it's not just one area. If it were just, you know, finances, which is, you know, usually a big one for us. If it were just finances, well, you know, you've seen some up and downs. You know, things will turn around eventually. And you kind of got some hope there. But if you look into the other areas of your life, and maybe spiritually speaking, you're in that stuck place. You feel like, man, God has promised me some things. God has said some things. I know he said some things to me. But man, I'm not feeling like it's going to happen. I'm feeling like I'm at a standstill, or worse yet, maybe even slipping back a little bit. Dr. Elisa said, I was just asking why this morning. So, you know, it's a real recent question for us. It's a right now kind of thing for some of us. We're dealing with that. We're wrestling with that. I just want us to be honest today. I've already told you at the beginning of this broadcast that there is hope, and we're going to go somewhere and we're going to be all right. But I want you to know that right now, today, it's okay to say, man, I'm feeling stuck. Part of the thing, you know, my wife is a substance disorder counselor, and in her work, one of the first things that they tell clients is, you got to get honest. You got to get honest. Don't come in here like, oh, I got it all together. You wouldn't be here at this clinic if you had it all together. So you might as well get honest right off the bat. Now, it's going to get better. We got tools. We got some ways to help you. But you need to admit where you are right now in order to move from there or have any hope of moving from there to things better. You got to admit, okay, this is where I am right now. This is where I am today. This is what I'm feeling right now. And be okay with that. Can I tell you that you are in a no judgment zone right now? I am not here to judge you. I am not here to tell you, you just need to suck it up, brother. Quote a few scriptures and you'll be fine like me. I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm not trying to brush off what you're going through or what you're experiencing. Or say that your particular situation is, you know, is small or insignificant. It's big to you if nobody else. And God knows that. God cares. And it's okay. Listen, I tell you, one of the reasons I love the Psalms and David as he's writing in the Psalms is that, man, he's about one of the most honest people you ever want to come across. He will tell you, listen, I just can't today. I am down in the dumps. I'm in a dark pit. I don't know if there's any light anywhere. I mean, and the Lord didn't say, well, let's just scratch that out. We don't want anybody to see that part or read that part. That's not, we don't want. No, he left it in there. It's still in the book. It's still in the book. Because he wants you to understand, I am a high priest, as the Hebrew writer tells us, who can be touched with the feeling of your infirmity. I know what it's like. The prophet Isaiah said he was a man well acquainted with grief. He knows about that. You're not the only one. Listen, you write about it. If we didn't have the Lord, we'd be of all people most miserable. For us, at least, there is hope. Others are taking a permanent way out of a temporary situation. I'll just let that sit there for a second. We have not reached that point, I hope. Obviously not. You're here. But I want you to understand it's okay to admit I'm feeling kind of stuck right now, Lord. I began to look and think about some of the examples we have, and Paul tells us, particularly in the Old Testament, that it was given for us as an example. We have a set of examples in the Old Testament. Some of those examples are how to do the thing. Some of them how not to do the thing. Some of them just, this is what humanity looks like going through life. And when I look at, for example, Abraham in the book of Genesis and his whole family, they went through for real. But I look at Abraham, promised some things. Get up, leave your people, man, I'm getting ready to take you to a place that's awesome. I'm going to give you all kinds of one. You're going to have, you know, heirs, and your children shall be like the sand of the sea, and you know, all this kind of thing. And yet, for the longest, it looked like he was going backwards, if anything. Have you ever, and I know you have, we're experiencing some of that in 2020, right? Have you ever had a promise from God? Even as we look at the beginning of the year, some of the prophetic words that went forward. By the way, God can't lie, so don't get it twisted. He hadn't changed his mind. No matter what the economy does, no matter what COVID does, God has not changed his mind about the promises that he has made. But I want you to understand that we as human beings, you know, we get our little timer out and we think, well, by Thursday, this should happen. You know, he said Sunday, I'm going to give him till Thursday. We should be good by then. And Thursday come and go, and next Thursday come and go, and a month of Thursdays come and go. And things seem to get worse and prolonged instead of better and faster. And sometimes, yeah, like Abraham and Sarah, we decide to take matters into our own hands and maybe we can get ourselves unstuck. Can I tell you, you've seen those movies where the people are walking along and all of a sudden they find themselves in some quicksand. And they quickly find out that moving around, trying to extricate themselves from the quicksand, only makes things worse. The more they fight against it, the more it pulls them in. They stuck for real. And Abraham said, we're going to fix this. Sarah had a bright idea. You take my servant, my maidservant, and you go in with her. And there was no artificial insemination in those days. It was old school. And we know that didn't work out too well in the end. Bishop tells us, don't run from the fix. The fix will find you. Sometimes we try to pull ourselves out and we only make things worse. Rather than asking for and using the help that God has made available to us. Can I tell you, when you're in the middle of the thing, when you're sinking in that quicksand, your mind and your emotions go all kinds of directions. And rational thought seems to leave you altogether. Somebody outside the pit telling you, just calm down. And you're like, dude, if you were in this, you wouldn't be calm. And yet, the more you twist and turn and try to get yourself out of the jam that you're in, the more it pulls you under. Until you settle down and reach out for the help that's being offered to you. Now, I love Abraham because at the end of the day, God did exactly what he said he was going to do. Abraham went sideways a lot, more than once. But God came through in the end. We mentioned David, and on many occasions we see David seeming to go backwards. He's anointed as a young man to be king of Israel. You think, okay, let me turn the page and here he is on the throne. No, ma'am, no, sir. That's not what happened. You turn the page and he's in trouble. You turn the page and Saul's throwing a spear at his head. You turn the page and he's facing the giant. You turn the page and there's all kinds of craziness going on. You turn a couple of more pages and there's trouble in his family and his own kids trying to kill him. And yet, God is faithful. It's tough sometimes to remember that God is faithful while you're being frantic. Let me say that again. God is still faithful while you're being frantic. While you throwing your hands up and hollering and screaming and twisting and just getting deeper in the quicksand, stuck more, God is faithful. God is confident in everything he has said. And you need to calm down. That's right, Sister Libby, calm down. We don't want to hear that. We're like, man, can't you see I'm in trouble? Can't you see I'm stuck? Can't you see that this is not going right? Can't you see that it's actually going backwards? I would challenge you right there and tell you that your perspective may be inaccurate. Uh-oh, wait, say what? Again, Mark, you're not the one in the quicksand. I know about my situation. Well, what you know about your situation is that you're stuck. What you know about your situation is that it's seemingly getting worse. what you know about your situation is maybe it's hopeless. Uh-oh, my God. Well, wait a minute. Did we go there? Some of us have kind of gone there. I look here in this auditorium this morning, and not that we have always had, you know, a million people showing up for Transformation Hour in person, but even less than usual today here. So I'm extra glad for you folks out there. The number of which, by the way, is a little reduced this morning. I don't know where folks are. I'm glad for you, though. Maybe they'll catch the replay because they need this word. Maybe they're feeling stuck right now. And that's the reason they're not on. But the devil is a liar.
He is.
And God is true.
Absolutely.
I want you to understand that in your most stuck place, God has not left you, God has not forsaken you, God has not given up, and God has not changed his mind. Good morning, Sister Brenda. God has not changed his mind about you. He hasn't changed his mind about his promises to you. I want you to understand that it is God's desire for you to be on top in all the circumstances. Yeah, I'm letting that sit out there for a second because you're like, well, wait a minute. Didn't you just say it's okay to admit that I'm in trouble and I'm stuck? Yeah. But I said it's God's intention not to leave you there. It's God's intention that you don't stay there. It's God's intention that you don't stay stuck. That's what I really want to get across to you this morning. Is that although a lot of us are feeling stuck, we're not sure what tomorrow holds exactly. We thought some things would have happened more quickly than they have. God's intention for you is better. God's intention for you is not that you stay stuck. So I look at us here, even at Deliverance Temple Ministries, and I'm sure this is not unlike churches across the land. You know, I look even at folks like Bishop T.D. Jakes, who we all know. You know, we know he has the Potter's House Church and Ministry in Dallas, and, you know, 20,000 folks show up on a weekly basis, or at least they did. And I saw a little bit of his broadcast the other day, and he's sitting there, and there may be five people in the room with him, in that big room that'll hold 20,000 folks or whatever, and there's like five people, and a couple of them are camera persons, you know. His wife out there, you know, that's about it. Very different situation than he's used to. And we're used to having, you know, folks show up here in person. Some folks have been home for a very long time. Not sure when they're going to come out. Some churches have already said, we're not even going to try to have in-person services before January. So we live in, you know, what many are calling an unprecedented time. Again, the Lord said this at the end of last year, that this year would be a year of the unprecedented. But I also believe that as we are closing in on the last part of this year, we are going to see an unprecedented move of God in our favor. We are going to see people get unstuck who've been stuck. You're going to see some breakthroughs that you had all but given up on. And I came by this morning, if nothing else, to encourage you. Number one, that being stuck is not just you. It's not you alone who is stuck. There are a whole lot of us feeling that right now. And yes, you love Jesus and he loved you and you're still stuck. See, that honesty is what I'm talking about right there. Just being honest with the fact that this is where I am, Lord. You can't get from where you are to anything better without admitting this is where I am first. I'm in Springfield. I want to go to St. Louis. I got to admit, first of all, I'm in Springfield. I can't pretend I'm already in St. Louis or even in Rolla or wherever. I got to admit, here's where I am. Here's where I am. I got to start from here. Doesn't matter what I thought was going to happen by now and what I, you know, had planned on. Listen, can I tell you what you already know? And that is that a whole lot of people made plans for 2020 that they had to scrap. They had to toss those plans out, start over, get a clean sheet of paper. And it isn't just you. I was listening to a billionaire talking about the fact that he had to scrap a bunch of his plans for this year. He's a motivational type of fella, and one, you know, the big way he make money is to be out there in front of folks, paying for his program, paying to come and see him and all that, paying for his courses and stuff. Around the world, traveled to, you know, 20 or 30 countries last year, but not this year. He's at home. So, whatever your plans were, that's okay. Admit, here's where I am now. And God, I'm feeling stuck. Trust and believe, though, he does not want or intend for you to stay there. Nor has he changed his mind about what he intends to do for you and through you. Can I tell you that I'm sure that Abraham, David, many of the others in the Bible had those days where they're like, I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I knew where I was going. I thought this was the way out of our trouble, and yet here I am right here again. Can I tell you, even the great apostle Paul, not everything worked out just the way he had intended. He made plans to go this way and find himself shipwrecked, find himself in prison, find himself beat in a dungeon. Gee, I hadn't planned on that. I didn't see that one coming, Lord. So understand, you're not alone. You're not alone on that. The best laid plans of mice and men, right? But God has not forsaken you in your stuck place. God has not abandoned you in your stuck place. Over the next couple of weeks, I want us to really look at how we are identifying in the stuck place. See, we want the quick fix. We want to just be out of it. And hey, I'm one who expects and believes in miracles. And hey, I'm wide open to miracles. Somebody say amen right there. I am wide open to miracles. I'm wide open to him doing exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or imagine, like now. Yes, love those. But I also hear the old saint saying, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. What I want you to think about a little bit as we go even into next week. That's right, Pastor Carol. Hold on. Help is on the way, she says. I want you to think about who you are being in the stuck place. How do you identify in the stuck place? In other words, does your situation and your circumstances determine who you are? Or do you rely upon another source and a higher authority to define who you are, who you're showing up as, even in the stuck place? Can I tell you, and I have way too much popular culture and media running around in my head, so y'all just forgive me if sometimes I, you know, turn back to some of these old TV shows and stuff, but I look at folks like the Lone Ranger. I look at folks like some of these Westerns. I look at even Superman. Some of these folks that get in a stuck situation. I mean, they are in trouble. But very interestingly, although they're in trouble, they realize they're in a fix. They don't stop being who they know they are in the midst of the stuff. I'm talking to somebody right there. That's a revelation for somebody, I hope, right there. See, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Let's go back over that just real quickly. Many are the afflictions of who? Oh, I identify as one of his. I identify as one of his righteous children. I identify as one of the blood-washed king's kids. That's who I am. Oh, yeah, I'm in affliction. Oh, yeah, I'm stuck right now. Oh, yeah, I thought it would work out quicker than it has. But even in the midst of that, I'm still who I am. I'm still God's child. I'm still a king's kid. I'm still one of the righteous ones because my righteousness is of him. Who are you? See, the trials, the temptations will come. One of the greatest temptations of all is to doubt God. One of the greatest temptations in your stuck place is to doubt God, is to doubt who he is to doubt what he said, is to doubt that he still cares, is to doubt that he still loves you, is to doubt that he's going to come through in time. And so it really goes to who am I? These trials, these tribulations are actually opportunities for us to grow in our identity. Listen, I told you before, I've only got a few messages in my little arsenal, in my little bag. There are only a few messages. I keep bringing them one way or then another, but there's only a few. I'm going to tell you about the love of God. I'm going to tell you about faith righteousness. That's how you get there because of the finished work of Christ. I'm going to tell you about relationship with God. I'm going to tell you about identity in God. That's pretty much all I got, folks. That's pretty much it. So don't think it's strange that I work my way back around to one of those today when I talk about identity. It is critical that in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of whatever you're going through economically, relationally, spiritually, emotionally, it's critical that you take a moment to allow God to shine the light on your situation and help you realize, even in your stuck place, wait a minute. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am loved by God the Father. I am a king's kid. Listen, when the prodigal got in trouble, Luke 15, y'all know the story. That boy was stuck. I don't know if his name was Chuck, but he was stuck like Chuck for sure. Deborah was in trouble. Things were going good for a minute, riding high. And then the pandemic hit. The Bible tells us that that whole country got in trouble. All the stuff he was depending on, all the structures that he was leaning on fell apart. And he found himself in a stuck place. He found himself in the pig pen, and he was so bad off. Listen, this is what happens to your mind. Watch out for your mind. Guard your mind. Guard your mind. Guard your mind. Yes, ma'am. Because listen, he got to looking around and he was in such a stuck state of mind that the husk that the pigs was eating started to look good. Now, this is a man that has had, you know, he grew up on filet mignon. He grew up on porterhouse and good stuff. Leg of lamb and all of that. And his mind has slipped while he's in a stuck place, such that the corn husk that the pigs was eating started to look good to him. But just about then, just about that time, the Bible says something very interesting. The Bible says, while he's still in his stuck place, he's in the pig pen, y'all. He's not sitting on Sugar Hill. He's in the pig pen. And the Bible says, while he's in that stuck place, he came to himself. He came to himself. He realized, wait a minute. This is not who I am. This is not all I am. We sometimes, God help me. I feel my help coming on here, and I just got 5 minutes left. Isn't that the way the Holy Spirit is sometimes? Just when you're about to quit, he shows up. I want you to understand this morning that your circumstances, your environment even, must not define you. Come on, get that message if you heard nothing else I said today. Your circumstances, your situations, what you're going through must not define you. You are not your circumstances. You're not what happened to you. And so the prodigal comes to himself. The prodigal realizes, wait a minute. Even though I've been in a stuck place, and let me tell you real quick what you need to understand too about the prodigal, because somebody's going to relate to this right here. Whose fault, if we want to go there for just a second, whose fault was it that the prodigal was in the situation that the prodigal was in? It was the prodigal's. You're right. It was his own fault. Can I tell you that even when you are in a stuck place because you got yourself there, even when you're in a stuck place because the stuff around you has fallen apart, like it has in this pandemic, no matter how you got there, God's word to you today is, come to yourself. Realize, wake up to who you really are. This has been none other than an identity check. Come on now. This too shall pass, but in the meantime, I need you to check yourself. I need you to check who you are. Who are you showing up as today? Who have you decided you are? Am I sick, broke, busted, disgusted, hopeless, I guess if you say you are, you are. I guess if that's how you want to identify. And guess what? Check this out. People will treat you the way you identify. Know how I know? Look. The prodigal was in trouble. He's out of money. He started to identify with that. The way he identified with the fact that he had some cash when he left the house. Oh, I'm Mr. Big Man. I got the money. It's all good. He's rolling. The money left. His friends left. He starts to identify with, I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. And how did people treat him? Broke, busted, and disgusted. The Bible says nobody would hire him. They looked at him, they checked his resume, they looked at his attitude, they said, no, bro, we can't use you. You ain't got the right feel about you. You just don't exactly exude confidence right now. I need somebody who's a little more on top of things. So that the only job he ended up finding was tending the pigs. And he's so down and out that even what they're eating started to look good. He's so down and out. He has so forgotten who he really is in the middle of this stuck situation that he begins to identify with the pigs. Don't be pig-headed, y'all. You're not that, even in the midst of your stuff. The devil is a liar. You right about that, Sister Libby. I want you to understand that God is giving us an opportunity as we're closing in on the end of this year and as we close in on the end of our time today. God is giving us an opportunity to do an identity check. We need to do a check up from the neck up. Who am I? Who am I showing up as? I am not my circumstances. I'm not this situation. This has not come to be the end of me. Listen, if you only identify with your bank account and your bank account is, you know, going the other way, then you're going to go the other way. If you only are on top of things and feeling good and confident when you got, you know, plenty of money in the bank, watch out. If you're only confident and on top of things and when you're, you know, your health is like 100%, I'm fit from head to toe. Watch out. Watch out. Who are you when you're sick? Am I talking to the right folks still? Because y'all may be the ones like, oh, I don't ever get sick. Oh, okay. You can switch, you can turn me off now. Go on, because you don't need this. Listen, and I'm a vitamin taking somebody. I'm trying to hold on to I'm trying to hold on to everything I got. But understand, my identity is not in my health. My identity is not in my great looks. My identity is not in my bank account. My identity is not in that PhD. My identity is not in that job title. My identity is not in my address. My identity is not sitting on the parking lot in a parking space out there. That's not me. The first step to getting unstuck. We're going to talk about unstuck next week. But the first step to getting there is to realize, okay, here I am, but it's not who I am. Good God from Zion. I don't think I can get better than that. I better end this broadcast right there. It may be where you are. You may be stuck, but it's not who you are. And the first step out of that is to admit, yes, Lord, I'm stuck. Here I am. You see me. I'm not going to pretend that I ain't in this quicksand. I ain't going to pretend that you know, I got a $10 billion bank account. God, you see. City Utility, no. Amen. They still looking for real dollars. They don't want to hear me speak in tongues. U.S. legal tender, please. But understand, where I am is not who I am. Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans, and I'm closing, though I go through, in fact, let me just turn there super quickly. Somebody said, yeah, because he ain't actually read a scripture all day. No, I hear you out there. You'll be all right. And I gave plenty of scripture today. But let me read this one real quick. I'm just going to go towards the end of it. Y'all know it, but here we are. Praise God. Who shall separate? This is verse 35, chapter 8, Romans, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or stuckness? Yeah, I threw that one in. Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. 37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Verse 38. For I am convinced. Are you convinced today? In your stuck place, are you convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing, including pandemics, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's okay to be stuck. But no, you're not going to stay there. No, that's not God's intention for you. And no, stuck is not who you are, even though it may be where you are. I hope this has been a blessing to you. Dr. Elisa's dancing and shouting over here. God bless you. I love you guys. Appreciate you so much. We're going to continue on next week as we talk about stuck, unstuck, free, and flourishing. We're going to get there. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you. See you next week. God bless you, Mother. Thank you.